Psalms 138 and verse number 8. Could we read this verse in unison, please? The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine hands. As my brother quoted that verse of Scripture to me, it really seemed to embed itself into my heart and mind. I've thought of it often. And I wish to briefly speak to that verse this evening as we were contemplating what message to bring on this last service for 2015. I know that many of you have been through some deep waters this year. Some of you have had to say goodbye to your dearest of friends, your closest of family. Others of you have had experiences of trial and difficulty at work or with friends, health issues, emotional issues, marriage issues. And I just feel that the Lord would have us to look at this tonight. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your word of truth that is forever settled in heaven. And Lord, I thank you for the promises of Scripture. And for those promises of hope that are held out to your children. Bless our people tonight. May we go forward from this evening learning more about your ways. From this point, learning, Lord, how you deal with your people and gaining wisdom every day as we walk this walk of faith and trust. Again, Lord, please remember us tonight and engrave the truth of this message on our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For those of you who do not know my brother, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer some time ago and began taking a series of 25 radiation treatments to be followed up by some radiation seed implants later. He has gone through all of that. But talking to Ravi, you would never know by his demeanor that he was carrying the disease of cancer in his body. His testimony is always about the goodness of God. He not only had that experience, but also not long ago he fell and tore a rotator cuff in three places and had surgery on that, and it has not gone well. He's been out of work now for over a year. I ask him how he's doing. He says, "Arnold, I'm doing fine." He says, I'm making it." He's still going on with his Sunday morning radio broadcast. He's still involved at his church, his ministry, and three nursing homes there in Union County. Not only that, but he's lost his wife, Brenda, also to cancer. But wherever Robbie goes, I have never heard him complain. He is constantly testifying about how great and how good God has been to him. We've prayed for Robbie here. Many of you have asked about him. And if he were here tonight, he would not talk about the problems he has faced, but he would speak about the goodness of God. He would say to you, as he said to me, "I believe the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." That is what the psalmist said. And then added the prayer, "Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands." You see, the psalmist had hope in God, but he would not presume upon God. His eye is bright, his countenance is radiant, his demeanor is calm and joyous and kind. He is happy in the conviction that God will perfect that which concerneth him. That word "perfect" is the Hebrew word gomar. It means the Lord will complete what he has begun in me. He will not leave his work unfinished. The Lord is going to make further improvements to me. He's going to perfect, to polish, to refine. He's going to put the finishing touches. He's going to perfect that which concerneth me. As we gaze upon this psalmist, we feel assuredly that he has gotten hold of a secret that too many of us may not possess. But let us ask a few questions tonight and see if we can further delve into the depths of this great truth. What do you mean when you say the Lord will perfect? You seem so sure and so confident about this. What do you mean? I mean that whatever really concerns me, the Lord will see after and bring it to a conclusion that is best for me. Romans 8:28 is a New Testament verse. "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Whether it has to do with my outward circumstances, whether it has to do with my physical health or my spiritual health, there are many things that concern me, but what they are, I leave to God. There are a lot of things that really don't concern me, but whatever it is that really concerns me, I'm sure the Lord is involved in that. And the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. In Philippians 1 and verse 6, Paul said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." So, how do you know all this? Well, the psalmist is at no loss for a response. "Well, I know the Lord has begun his work in me, and of this I am certain, he has given me a new direction in life." Many of you can testify to that tonight. You're not on the broad road. You're walking with God. And that road that's entered by the straight gate, and you're traveling the narrow way. And you're walking that road now. It's not a maybe someday I'll walk that road, but tonight Many of you are walking that straight and narrow path that leads to heaven. And God has given you a new disposition. He has given you new desires. He has given you a new taste for life. He has given you a new dispensation, disposition, all of that. A new song wells up in your heart. The sins I once loved, Paul says, I now hate. The service for God that I used to care nothing for, I now love. The people of God that I didn't used to want to be around, they are my family now, and I love to have them around. I'm just really uncomfortable around anybody else. I'm sure that God has begun His work in me, and I am sure that He will continue. Whatever it is that I need to make me what He wants me to be, He will send it my way. He's already given me His Holy Spirit, which is working in me now. My life has changed so tremendously since He came, but He has more improvements to make. He has more polishing, more refining, more finishing touches to make. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. A few years ago when Robbie was down, he's good with body work and spray guns and painting and that kind of thing. And Brother Billy Cottle had a motor home that had a hole in the back of it. You remember that, Billy? And Robbie came down, so I took him over there and I said, Billy's got a problem with his motor home here. He's got a big gash in the back of it there, and I wonder if you can fix it for him. Well, Robbie went over and looked at it and got out his tools and his paraphernalia, and he went to work on Billy's motor home. And before long, he had that hole patched up and the bent place out of it, and it painted over, and honestly, you could not tell it from a brand new vehicle, could you, Billy? Amen. And John had a little problem with his Honda car. Not as much as he has now, but but he had a place, I think it was on the back quarter panel or something, where I'm not going to call any names, but somebody ran into the trailer and bent the back quarter panel. And I put Robbie to work on that, and sure enough, he fixed that out, matched the paint perfectly. You could never tell that car had ever had any kind of a ding or a collision with a trailer, could you? He did a good job. Robbie is a perfectionist. But just like Robbie repaired those vehicles and made them look new again, you know what? God is in the business of taking lives that have been wrecked. Wrecked and ruined by sin. And making them over again. God can perfect that which is damaged in your life. Amen. God can make you to where you won't have to be ashamed to be seen in public again. God will perfect you. God will restore you. The psalmist said, He restoreth my soul. Amen? Some time ago, was talking to a preacher, and he was telling me about a teenage girl in the church that had fallen into sin. And she came to the pastor and was just so broken over her mistake. And there she was, expecting a little baby. But she was broken, and she was remorseful. And she came to the pastor and asked him if he would forgive her, and if he thought the church would forgive her, and if he thought God would forgive her. And of course, the pastor got on his knees and prayed with her, and the girl asked the Lord to please forgive her for that mistake. And the girl said, "Preacher, I just don't feel like I can talk to the church, but would you talk for me? Would you tell them what I've told you?" And the preacher did. And he went before the church and told them the whole story. And the pastor asked the church what the pleasure of the church was, and immediately someone stood up and said, "Well, she has asked for forgiveness, and I think we ought to give it to her. We ought to forgive her." And the whole church, in one accord, voted to forgive her and to restore her. It was a beautiful scene. And when that service closed, she was at the front of the church, and every person in the auditorium came by and hugged her neck and embraced her. What am I saying? I'm saying God forgives, and so do we. God will restore, and so will we. God's got some further improvements He wants to make on you and on me. And if we will yield to Him, He will refine us. He will polish us up. He will perfect us. But you ask the question, aren't you afraid? David, aren't you afraid of the worst? Have you not failed God? Are you not really unworthy of His mercy? I'm sure David would say, "Truly, I'm not worthy. But I do believe, and I am convinced, that God's mercy endures forever." I said it back in Psalms 100, verse 5, "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." You see, it is not my goodness. It is not my strength. It is not my resolve. But that ever enduring, everlasting mercy of God. What is the risk you are facing tonight? What is the danger you feel? What is the uncertainty that causes you to fear? Remember that God can and God will perfect that which concerns you through humility and prayer, turning from wrongdoing and trust in God. God will perfect that which concerneth you. He will carry to perfection everything that concerns you. Us humans have a way of leaving things unfinished. We live and move through life surrounded by unfinished things. I recently learned what a frog was. I thought I know, that four-legged kind of thing that's green and croaks. Well, I was over at the Matthews home some time ago and I learned through that experience that a frog is a finished room over the garage. But a lot of folks have rooms over the garage that are not finished. We begin things and don't finish them, don't we? We don't see them through. Some people never seem to finish what they start. They start mowing the yard and don't finish it. They start painting a house and they don't finish it. They start building a room and don't finish it. But God has a distinct purpose in whatever He undertakes in His children. And He will not leave it nor quit working on it until it's perfected. Sometimes our schedule gets so crowded that we let some things slip, but not God. Sometimes we have good intentions and yet we forget what we intended to do, but not God. Sometimes I've had to give up on some things I've wanted and longed to do and dreamed about, but not God. There's nothing too hard for God. Can God? God can. We're on the potter's wheel. And God is making us. He is perfecting us in His hands. We experience sometimes that pressure in His hands as He molds us and fashions us and perfects us according to His will and making that beautiful and valuable vessel that He wants to make. There has to be some pressure on the inside and some pressure on the outside as He's making that vessel. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Some of you are suffering tonight. Some of you are weighed down this Wednesday evening. You know what it's like to hurt. You know what it's like for your dreams to be dashed. You know what it's like to be disappointed and disheartened and disillusioned. And because of that, I'll say this process of perfecting it can either make us bitter or it can make us better. A few years ago, Miss LaVon Nash was here. She was a sweet lady, had such a sweet disposition. But one day she came in and said, Pastor, they found this spot on my lung. They say it's cancer. And Miss LaVon Nash, we believe, is in heaven tonight. But I don't believe she has a spot on her lung. Some of you are dealing with children with autism and Down syndrome. I go to the nursing home and see a 50-year-old man that can't even pronounce my name. He just says, "Preacher." I buried his mother with Alzheimer's. I buried his father. Some of you have had to deal with special children, and some of you are even now dealing with even parents. Alzheimer's is a very humiliating disease. And the people I know who've had Alzheimer's and eventually died with Alzheimer's got to the point where they didn't even know who their children were. I've got a neighbor whose wife died and for several years. She did not even know who he was, and she would actually run from him. Finally had to put her in an Alzheimer's unit just to keep her from losing herself. I've gone out of my house, and it was really kind of funny, but it wasn't funny, because she was hiding behind some bushes trying to get away from her husband. And her husband told me, he said, "Arnold," said, "she doesn't know who I am. And she doesn't think that this is her home." Some of you have had your mother-in-law to move in with you. Some have had to say goodbye to a husband, to a wife. But you take those trials, you take those afflictions, you take those adversities in stride. And instead of them making you bitter, you responded in faith and love to the will of God, and you know what? You became a better person. Didn't you become a better person because of it? You learned how to lean more on the Lord. And instead of running from God and being bitter at God, you drew closer. Jesus said in John 15, "Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." The clay does not know into what beautiful shapes it may be formed by the hand of the potter, but he's working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Our great, wonderful, merciful God is grooming us for heaven. And all along life's pathway, he's making improvements on us and improvements in us. There are four qualities that determine the value of a diamond. Number one, the cut of the diamond. Number two, the clarity. Number three, the color. Number four, the carat or the size. And God is perfecting us in the everyday duties of life here. Life is a school which we're all attending, and one day those of us who are following our divine schoolmaster will graduate from this school, having been taught and trained and polished and refined, having been perfected by divinity. God trains us. If necessary, God cuts us, polishes us, sizes us in ways that we may not choose. We may not even think that what we're going through is going to be any good at all at the moment, but God isn't done yet. God's making us far more beautiful than we could ever have accomplished on our own. He's giving us a divine makeover. There are possibilities in all of us. I think God has an ideal in His mind for each of us. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Even the hard knocks of life are designed by the Master to shape us and polish us and perfect us and make us more glorious and beautiful people. If we could grasp this truth, all of life would sparkle with significance and gladness. And finally, yes, we need God's mercy for the journey. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. We need God's mercy, for which of us has a flawless record of submission to God's will. With our past, what can we do but humbly cast ourselves on God's infinite mercy? It's by His mercy that we're not consumed. It's God's mercy and grace that's provided for the ruined life to be restored and built up and transformed and perfected by the greatest perfectionist of all. Wherever your life is unlike the life of God in Christ, I think you will agree with me that there is need of mercy and perfecting. Some of you may feel a certain pressure in God's hand today. You may have gotten some bad news. You're facing a trial, an affliction, a disappointment, a loss. And you're feeling the pressure as God molds and perfects His vessel. Some may have rebelled against that, and you need to pray and ask God to forgive you and not to forsake the work of His hands. Others of you may need to yield to God's call to service. Some may need to yield to God's call to be saved. God can give you a new birth, a new life, a new future. Let God perfect that which concerns you. May His mercy indeed endure forever. May you not forsake the work of His hands. And remember my text, church. Would you say it with me? The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Say it again. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Say it one more time. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Diana's coming. We're going to sing a song. Would you bow in prayer? Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You for this little nugget of truth written so many years ago, but a truth that gives us so much hope as You work on us and change us, and file off the rough edges and refine us and beautify us. Oh God, may we be patient in the refining process as you're perfecting us. May we, with all of our hearts, look to you day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. And may we be so filled with the Spirit of Jesus Christ that every time there's a bump in the road, every time there is a negative word, or there's a persecution, or there's a hardship to be endured, I pray, Lord, that every time we're bumped a little bit, may the Spirit of God overflow. May it be the Spirit of God that people see in us. May it be the Spirit of Christ as we respond in that Christ-like spirit while you are perfecting that which concerns us all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Shall we stand?